attend to. You know, they showed cash. And just thinking about, is anyone I could borrow some money from? I think the person I'm thinking maybe has some extra cash, and you know, he's flush.
Jonathan?
Yeah, oh, yeah.
I'd be happy to help.
Yeah, yeah, I'll have yours. Wow. Generous spirit, love it.
How much do you need?
20.
My pleasure.
Oh, yeah, well, actually, I meant 20,000. 20,000. Yeah, I know it's a fair bit, but I, you know, just with my brother. And,
it's okay. No, I trust you with it.
Oh, well, thanks, brother. Yeah, thanks. Yeah. Okay, cheers.
Got to get back to you.
Sounds good. Responsible with your money. Okay, so look after it.
Okay. Thank
you. You owe it to me. You owe me. Yeah.
Okay.
Good lesson there for my son.
Yeah.
Okay, where were we? So one thing that happens in life is that you get hurt, and there are physical hurts that you can get, obviously, and then there's hurt that is caused by people. Things other people do to you, sometimes we call it being sinned against, and we call them hurts because they do have so much in common with physical hurts. And I'm going to throw out a question just so we can maybe think together, just write a little list, if you can think of anything. What are some of the similarities between getting a physical hurt, cut, broken leg, an injury, and the hurts that we receive emotionally, perhaps, from other people? So I'll give you one kind of thing I'm talking about is both kind of hurts are unavoidable. Don't think it's really possible to go through life without getting some kind of physical injury. And it's not possible, I don't think, equally to go through life without being hurt by someone else. So it's both are unavoidable. Can you throw out a few more things that would be complicated, just simple things that physical and emotional hurts have in common?
Sometimes they don't heal.
That's an interesting one. Sometimes don't heal.
Can cause bitterness.
How is a physical?
You're bitter to the person who hit you.
Yeah.
Or
and how is that similar to a physical? Because what have they both have? Can you be? It's true. I go back to almost like the so bitterness. How is a physical and an emotional hurt similar? Definitely, we get bitter. I suppose you could relate that to a physical in terms of like infection, kind of like.
Or just if somebody like with a drunk driver hits and kills somebody, that family can become very bitter that the drunk driver didn't get what they feel due justice.
It's actually barely a day that goes by sometimes that you don't actually get hurt. Even if it's a small hurt, you might be like, oh, ow, my elbow. And you get those little hurts every day from people who say something that annoys you, or it's unkind, or it hurts by somebody letting you down, or didn't do this, said this, the tone of a voice, the raise of an eyebrow, is actually amazingly frequent.
Intentional or accidental.
Both can be intentional where nobody can read it anyway, but it's there. That's
you
really
sometimes
good.
Need help. You can't get it by yourself.
Right, sometimes you need a doctor. You need help. Go to Emerge. Go to somebody to help.
Be educational.
It's going to be educational.
Last time I borrowed money, I'm dead.
What's that?
The last time I borrowed money, I'm dead.
Once bitten, and twice shy. Yes.
Can make you paranoid.
Yeah, that's actually a really good point, is that when you've been hurt a lot of times, you're going to avoid and be really stressed going into that situation again. So you might get hurt again, either physically, or if you see this person, you're going to be really on your guard and could even be described as paranoid, just totally not relaxed.
Sometimes it can shatter your faith.
Shattering. Wow.
Isolating.
Very good. Yeah, that's a good one. Wow, that's a really good one. Yeah. These are actually hurt is quite a big part of life. In fact, we spend a lot of time avoiding or dealing with hurt and pain, physical or emotional. We pray every week here for people who are in physical pain. We have staying healthy is a big part of life, the whole medical system, health and safety. Medicine cabinets, put gloves on, put a helmet on, put on your seatbelt, take vitamins, put on your hat to catch your death of cold. Go into emergency, go into doctors, physios, OTs, all kinds of treatments. An amazing amount of resources, taxes poured into responding to our physical hurts. And it's a huge challenge today just to get in a doctor. It's a big issue. So the Lord Jesus mentions some of the things that cause us emotional hurt. I'll start with Matthew 5:44. I'll just read this verse. Matthew 5:44. Listen to the different hurts here. Love your enemies. I read it from the King James. Some of the Gospels have the whole thing, some of them have just talk. Bless them that curse you. So cursing you. Do good to them that hate you. Pray for them which despitefully use you, or spitefully use you, and who persecute you. So you got people who are your enemies, curse you, or say horrible things about you, people that just hate you, don't like you, people who are using you, taking advantage of you. Anyway, outwardly are just trying to get at you, persecute you, and there's all kinds of degrees of those things. Have you been hurt by anyone? We all have. And right now, do you have anybody that you could say is your enemy? So anyone who has said things about you that are not true, just to put you in a bad light, curse you. Anyone hate you? Not like you? Is anyone mistreating you or despitefully using you? Or has done in the past? And those kind of hates don't just go away like that, and they can really, it's the kind of injuries that last and fester if untreated. So, simple about what does the Bible say about dealing with these things and responding to that. A lot of this that we know, but to really apply it. Because actually, when you actually think about the New Testament, it is the overwhelming challenge to us, not because it's so natural to us, it's part of our old nature, it's in Adam, we would do this. So the overwhelming challenge to us as Christians, as believers who have been forgiven, is not to return evil for evil. Not to return evil for evil. Because it is often the struggle to avoid sinning in response to having been sinned against. That's a major part of our Christian life. This is the practical life of the Christian. So the struggle to avoid sinning in response to other people sinning against us. This is a major part of life. So, because our old nature, our flesh, is always ready to respond in a fallen way, the way Cain responded, for example. None of you are going to just walk down to Charlottetown and just punch a random person. I don't think. There are some people in the world that you saw last night, yesterday, went to a shopping mall and stabbed people, random people. There are people that would do that. I know none of you would ever dream of doing anything remotely like that. But what if somebody punches you first? So it's the response to something done to us is where we find great difficulty. Jesus said, "You've heard it said that thou shalt love thy neighbor and hate thine enemy." This is the challenge of the New Testament, right? But Jesus said, "I say unto you, love your enemies, bless them that curse you, do good to them that hate you, pray for them who despitefully use you and persecute you, that ye may be the children of your Father which is in heaven." Children then, meaning you are a reflection of your Father, what your Father is like. You show that to the world. We've touched on a few, but what really think now particularly about what are some ways that we in the flesh, without the Lord, naturally respond to being hurt when somebody hurts us, sins against us. And one thing I can bring, is there a rag or a piece of kitchen roll or something I can just rub this bit out the back? It's fine, we'll just do it verbally. Oh, we got something here.
Yes.
Right.
Sense.
Cutting person out. Yes, cut person out. Like ignore or something. Ignore somebody, for example.
Is that what you mean?
Yes, yeah. Just avoid them.
The inquirer, wondering why it happened?
Say it again.
The inquiring, wondering what it happened.
Inquiring.
Telling anyone who would listen how we were wrong.
Telling everyone.
Hurting.
Telling everyone about how I've been hurt, this person's hurt me, and getting sympathy.
Hurting them back.
Ones that I'm very familiar with in my struggle is self-pity, whining, moping, sullen, silent treatment. I guess we had that one. Yes. Retreat into yourself. Read two verses from Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians 4 verse, the end of the chapter, the last two verses, I think 31, 32, says, let all bitterness, Ephesians 4:31, let all bitterness, wrath, and anger, and clamor, and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. Now I'll read it in a more modern translation. It says, get rid of all bitterness, rage, anger, harsh words, and slander, as well as all types of evil behavior. There's all types. And I'm going to suggest, because it's just to be helpful, that all this together, probably the best word that kind of encapsulates a lot of these things is
word that was mentioned a little bit earlier too. Bitterness. Bitterness. So when somebody hurts you and you don't deal with it, the sort of the end of the road, what starts occurring is bitterness. Bitterness. It's mentioned in the verse, let all bitterness. It says, and wrath and anger. Very similar words, but maybe wrath could be the outburst type of anger. Why that crazy guy? Why are they doing it again? And the anger that festers and stays kind of under the surface. So there's wrath or rage, and then there's just the anger that builds over time. Harsh words mentioned about saying things about, talking to other people about it and slandering that person. All kinds of behavior. But we'll use it, the word bitterness, to talk about all that together. And one thing that we often, the phrase that we often use when it starts is, hey guy, I think you're getting a root of bitterness. A root of bitterness. You have to forgive me, because I keep going on about elderberries. To everybody I meet, because I'm really excited about elderberries and elderflowers from my childhood, about this amazing plant. And the berries on it are really good for your immune system. Then you can use the flowers on it for flavor. It's just beautiful aroma. It's from my childhood, the smell of my mum making this elderflower drink. It's just a flavor that I just love. And there are a few elderflower farms in Canada, and soon there will be another one. Because I'm planting about 250 of these this year, and they will grow, and maybe I will take cuttings from those and make more and more and more elderflower, because we have some land, so I'm going to do with it. This is what I would do with it. And it's also, the great thing about this plant is that it is one of the most easy things to propagate. You just take a bit of the old wood, looks dead, stick it in a pot, and there you go. That's about my farming skills right there, so it seems to me. But it does have one problem, and that is it doesn't like, I mean, you put it in any soil, it grows, you keep it watered, that's fine. And it really is very hardy and very easy to propagate. But it has one shortcoming in that it hates competition from other roots. So when you plant it, you can't just let weeds grow around it, because the grass and the dandelions and all that will just cause this to stunt its growth. You won't get fruit. It's funny, because a few years ago I planted some of these down at Riverside, and there are a couple of bushes. The boys might know there, you guys might know. And there's some couple of elderberry bushes that I planted. They've been there for 8 years, and they do produce something, but they basically just kind of stay there. And I only just found this out is because they're in the middle of a great big, surrounded by grass. I haven't cleared any area around them at all, and so their roots are choked. And so it's alive, but in 8 years it basically hasn't grown hardly at all. And it's just there, choked by roots. So, you get the illustration, right? A root of bitterness does the same thing to us, right, Christians. You know, you're still Christian, you're alive, but if you want to grow, if you want to bear fruit, you can't be bitter. Can't be bitten. And so that's the lesson of the elderflower. Because the bitterness, why can't it compete? It's because the other roots just take away all the resources from the plant. The money. It saps all the energy, it saps all the water, it saps all the minerals, it saps everything and entangles itself with its growing roots. And it wins, the weeds win, the bitterness wins. So the question then, do you have any roots of bitterness that is stalling your joy, stealing your joy, and stunting your spiritual growth? Are you being drained by disappointment in other people? Is anger there in your life, entwining you and gripping you, causing the rage, sometimes bursts of rage, or that under the surface anger? Do you sometimes jump out with harsh words that even surprise yourself because that's in there? It's all retaliation. Because there's a slight feeling that we feel justified in being that way because someone has done something to us. In our flesh, we want to replace God, just like we do, Adam, and all the rest of us since then. We don't want God later to deal with it or something. I'm supposed to deal. I'm going to be the judge and the jury and serve judgment upon the perpetrator. In your family, do you have things at your table? Sometimes we've noticed things. When mom says something or dad says a particular thing or touches on a particular topic, the kids' heads are, you know, maybe just like, uh-oh, because it's a little sore spot that's there, and the subject that maybe is caused friction in the past, and you know that whenever we go there, these suddenly anger just pops to the surface, and that shows that there's some bitterness there, and I recognize that as a very dangerous thing, and it affects the whole family, even their well-being, right? When they know that they're still, don't talk about that, I'm never going to talk about that, you know, money, or whatever it is. A raw nerve. It's all down to unresolved bitterness, and really we want to hurt the other person, but it's like drinking poison yourself and hoping the other person will get sick. And the roots will kind of spread around, right, to other people. Because you will inevitably say, even in very subtle Christian ways, say, oh, they're late. Yes, something we've carried on past things that we find difficult about them, and we keep them turning over. So we come to the alternative, which we are given an alternative. As Christians, we have a wonderful alternative. So the first thing is for anybody to have not this be a hold on them is to be a Christian. Ephesians 3:17 says, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts, be at home. This is Ephesians 3:17. Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you, being rooted and established in love, may grow up, etc. That's Ephesians 3. May grow up into him. So you're rooted in good soil without weeds. You're rooted in Christ. Colossians 2:7 says, rooted and built up in him, strengthened in the faith as you were taught, and overflowing with thankfulness. So make sure, first thing is to be planted in Christ. Are you a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ? Have you trusted him in forgiving? And I just want to throw it out. Are there any other verses that come to mind when we are tempted to retaliate? That help you. Just, I've got a few verses here, but I just wondered if you have some.
Turn the other cheek.
Sorry?
Turn the other cheek.
Turn the other cheek.
shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh?
Walk in the Spirit. So, walking with the Lord, controlled by His Spirit, yielding to the Holy Spirit in your life, by faith, that He lives through you rather than you having to do it in your own strength. But it's, if you walk with Him, He will live His life through you. So we're not talking about the law, don't do this, don't do that. We're talking about the power of Christ.
Colossians 3:5, mortify yourself, or is another writer, quite a, you know, be killing sin or it will be killing you.
Mortify, similar, put to death, as it were, in the flesh, or in the spirit, yes. Mortify. Because you don't have to go that way anymore, because you are free from the law of sin. So you can treat that as gone, as dead.
Take every thought captive unto the obedience of Christ.
Take every thought captive. Take every thought captive unto the obedience of Christ. Thoughts come, and you have a verse there. I'm going to take, I'm going to lasso that capture. Put it away.
Look to Jesus, who for the joy, for the joy he was set before him near the cross.
So let's look to Jesus. Why? Because he is our, he has gone before us and endured the cross. So that endurance in him is something that we inherit from him as the one who did it in our place. He endured, did nothing wrong. Endured all this pain, hurt, suffering, physical, mental, and he endured, saying at the very moment, Father, forgive them, they don't know what they do.
First Peter chapter 2, verse 21.
Can you read it for
much?
Verses that I read, just preparing for this, especially that part in there, because sometimes you need something specific to do, an example to follow, and something to do that helps you. So when reviled, he reviled not again. When suffering, he threatened not. And here's the thing that really helps to me to think about is practically, but gave himself over into the hands of him who judges righteously. The opposite of being judge yourself. No. But you hand it over to a better judge than yourself. Because he judges righteously. Because he bore our sins on the cross. Because by his stripes you are healed. If you want healing, it's by his wounds that we are healed. So Jesus has already dealt with it. So give it over to a righteous judge. And bless to God. There's a lot of things in those verses we could think about. There's a lot of verses about do not take revenge, my dear friends. Leave room for God's wrath. It's His to avenge. Do not render evil for evil, railing for railing, but instead blessing. Thou shalt not hate thy brother in thine heart. Thou shalt in any wise rebuke thy neighbor, suffer not sin upon him. So, in all these situations, there's things, we could keep going with the list. You could think of some more, I'm sure, but in all these situations, they are the alternative to bitterness is, we sum up everything, is forgiveness. So the choice boils down to bitterness or forgiveness. And in our list of subjects that people wanted to talk about, there were two things. One is talk about roots of bitterness, which we're doing. And the other was about forgiveness, and particularly, should I, or how can I, or do I, forgive someone who isn't repentant? How's that work? Maybe they even died. Maybe a parent who was had a lot of things that they never did, a lot of hurt in your life, and they've gone, and you still remain with that hurt. Yes.
Yeah, I found that going to God and asking Him to help me to forgive them, even though they're not here, has helped me that I don't carry that bitterness when I think of that person. So forgiveness isn't to that person, but it's between me and God so that I can live at peace.
Hmm. Yes. And that's beautiful. We can end the message there. That's fine. That's great. That's beautiful. Thank you. And I think Keziah actually had a quote kind of along those lines. I think you've been discussing this at something along these lines. Was it the late girls' Bible study? Mm-hmm. And there was a quote that somebody read. Would you be able to read that?
Yeah.
You can stand up and just sort of turn around. Sorry. Put you on the spot.
You don't forgive someone merely for their sake. You do it for your sake so you can be free. Your need to forgive isn't an issue between you and the offender. It's between you and God. Forgiveness is agreeing to live with the consequences of another person's sin. Your only choice is whether you will do it so in the bitterness or the unforgiveness or the freedom of forgiveness. Forgiveness deals with your pain and not the other's behavior.
Forgiveness deals with the pain, not the other person's behavior. This, of course, is the same forgiveness that displayed by Jesus when nails are being put through his hands and says, "I forgive them. They don't know what they're doing." Think of the prodigal son. He had a heart of forgiveness towards his son before the son ever came back and repented. He ran to the son. He was waiting for the son. Whether the son came back or not, he loved his son. And yet there was great grief at the same time. But he still had a heart, like God does, of forgiveness. And this is, of course, why we as Christians, we really hold high and precious people in history who have suffered through great persecution, hate, slander. You know, think of Corrie ten Boom. Why do we love her testimony so much? She speaks after being in a concentration camp, being persecuted, being under in that situation in Nazi Germany. She says, after all that, people abusing, killing, she says, forgiveness is the key that unlocks the door of resentment and the handcuffs of hatred. She said, to forgive is to set a prisoner free and discover that the prisoner was yourself. She said, you never so touch the ocean of God's love as when you forgive and love your enemies. Finally, forgiveness is the attribute of the strong. So one of the questions that was added was forgiveness without repentance. So what if a person has hurt us, they never repent, maybe they died? You can truly forgive and truly be free. But there is nuance here, and even at the beginning, Michael alluded to that, that some pain never goes away, right? Some physical pain never goes away after injury. There is definitely a kind of grieving because the relationship hasn't been restored. And, you know, there's the grief, even God is full of joy and love and reaching out, but there's still a grief for those people of God, the sadness of God for those people who don't come to Him, who remain not coming to repent, to ask forgiveness. So He doesn't desire that any perish. So the pain of an unrestored relationship is not sin. The grief of that separation is like a death. In church, when there's lack of fellowship because of this kind of thing, it's like a death and a grief. Paul had 39 lashes one time, right? All kinds of persecutions, but he never got bitter, resentful. Even though he probably had scars and welts on his back after being beaten, 39 lashes. So this pain continues a long time, and emotional pain lingers a long time. But here's the kind of the part that when you have that grief and that pain, it presents a hook for Satan to maybe turn that, morph that pain back into resentment again, and anger again, and bitterness again. Sometimes it's a little bit hard to know the difference. That's where the nuance is between, yes, there's pain there, there's also still anger there, perhaps. So it is good to think, if you're starting to wish them evil again, starting to wish them harm again, you're back in the sin territory. But in the midst of the pain, if you wish them good, and you're still leaning out to them, ready for them to come to you, and whether they're the wife in your house, the husband, or whether they're 2,000 miles away, it doesn't matter. You're leaning in like God leans into us, waiting, even though it's painful, and may never happen. We just cast ourselves on the Lord. We just simply go back to like Psalm 147:3. He heals the brokenhearted. He binds up their wounds. But amongst the people of God, may we never ever hold back from humbling ourselves when we hurt someone. Or when somebody hurts us, we just make a beeline back to that person, and we deal with it. We run to restore, run to say sorry. Don't waste a moment, whether it is your husband or a brother or sister here or a fellow believer at work, whether it's just a person here who you find most just deadly annoying. Roots of bitterness among brethren and a local church will choke and destroy a testimony. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be invited to a church. They have a problem with this. Wrath, bitterness, anger, clamor, evil speaking, put it away from you. And then here's the verse. And instead, be ye kind to one another, tender, soft-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. A few weeks later, that $20,000 that you lent me, I spent it on a car. I didn't save up for that car. I just took the easy money and I wasted it on a car I didn't really need. More expensive and gas-guzzling car that I didn't really need. I basically was coveting that car that I saw on his website. And I should have taken the time to save up. I could have done, but I wanted it now. It was wrong of me to ask you for money because now that money is gone and I can't pay you back. And I'm sorry. I am really sorry. And I will pay you back. I'm going to work that back to you.
Thank you. Trust you.
And found one of his servants which owed him 100 pence. And He laid his hands on him and took him by the throat, saying, Pay me that thou owest. His fellow servant fell down at his feet and besought him, saying, Have patience with me. I will pay thee all. And he would not, but went and cast him into prison till he should pay the debt. So when his fellow servants saw what was done, they were very sorry, and came and told unto their lord all that was done. Then his lord, after that he called him, said unto him, O thou wicked servant, I forgave thee all that debt because thou desiredest me. Shouldest not thou also have had compassion on thy fellow servant, even as I had pity on thee? And his lord was wroth, and delivered him to the tormentors, till he should pay all that was due to him. So likewise shall my heavenly Father do to you, if ye from your hearts forgive not every one his brother their trespasses. Let's close in prayer. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, power and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.